Welcome to Radio Wolf. I'm here together with my partner, also my partner in our emergent interbeing work. And Elizabeth, great to have you.
Thanks so much, Thomas. It's good to be here.
And what we would like to do is a first of a series where we talk about different aspects of our emergent interbeing work. And we thought to start this series with a distinction that became important in our work, that we call the distinction between individuation and transindividuation. Why? Because we think it is important to really discuss how this emergent interbeing field that we are working with is very much related also to our individuation process and our cultural situation that we are in. And may I ask you, Elizabeth, to basically start your thoughts about why individuation, transindividuation, why is this an important anchor for what we are doing?
Okay, thanks, Thomas. Well, the distinction between individuation and transindividuation is important for us because it reframes how we understand human development. And it opens a different possibility than the one that Western culture in particular, and by extension, all of modernity has been particularly focused on, which is the rights and responsibilities and capacities and psychological status of the individual human. That for thousands of years, humanity has been on somewhat of, at least part of humanity has been on a real trajectory toward a way of relating to the world where the self stands out as separate from depth dimensions, separate from dimensions of self, separate from others, separate from nature. And this has been a powerful movement in consciousness towards this individuated self, and has allowed for human choice to play a role that it hadn't in previous eras. And what transindividuation points to is one, that this is not the end point, that being fully autonomous and individuated and self-responsible and self-aware human beings is not simply the end, but that there is a way of a potential to reclaim the wholeness that once was tribal, once was God intoxicated, but to begin to see a movement in consciousness, in human consciousness, toward the capacity of being aware of the field beyond the self. And it's not simply beyond the self as an object, but beyond the parameters of mind and feeling that have dominated our awareness, and opened ourselves to, and it opens ourselves to a recognition of being embedded in life, again, therefore nature, being embedded in depth, which is something that presents new opportunities, not just for the individual, but for us as a collective or culture. And I think that's part of what's really interesting. Transindividuation begins to really become fascinating when you say, what happens when two individuals who are aware of their embeddedness in a deeper and larger and more subtle reality, are together in dialogue, in engaging in life together? How does that change what is possible?
I very much agree. And our work comes from a development that kind of started maybe 10, 15 years ago, where the mindfulness movement started in a new way, where all of a sudden it's not only about individual mindfulness, but also collective mindfulness. And there are many works, and our work is part of this, where we focus about, and we use this term also, we spaces. And when you talk about we spaces, there is a question that always arises, and I think it's fair that it does, that we spaces are something that people have a longing for. People have a longing for to be reconnected again, reconnected with each others, reconnected also with nature and life itself. But there is also a fear that this we space is something that is a romantic going back to some pre-individuated forms of relationship that we as a species had in our indigenous socialization, or in traditional societies where we were more identified with our collective identities. And there is the fear that we lose our individuality. And in that, in our work, we really started to see that it is very important to emphasize, no, it's the opposite. We are not talking about losing our individuality. It means transcending and including our individuality in a similar way, like Ken Wilber talks about pre-rational, rational, and trans-rational. And trans-rational and pre-rational seem to be the same thing, but they are not, because trans-rational, in his understanding of the word trans-rational, also includes our rationality. And here, these we spaces that we are talking about need more of our individuality to realize that we are not only separated beings, but we are embedded in our shared presence. And that's what emergent interbeing is working with. In that sense, trans individuation, I think, is a powerful word of distinction to see. We need our individuality to become aware of something that is beyond it.
And I appreciate what you're pointing to, and I would also want to push the we space term a little bit. That in the we space world, it seems to be mostly about separate individuals coming together and finding themselves emotionally connected or yeah, in an intimate exchange where my interior and your interior kind of touch each other, that there's a beauty and love and vulnerability in that. And that's amazing. And it's actually quite a powerful thing that our individuation has made possible, to be able to be in touch with oneself and to be in touch with another. I think that the trans individuation that we're talking about actually brings forward and is focused on a different something other than an interpersonal intimacy. It's really about that this trans individuation is recognizing that there is this space that we share, that there is a living presence to our embodiment, to our living, that there is a presence that I have, that you have, but that together opens up something different. And that's the trans-individuation. And I appreciate your saying that it calls for that people, I mean, paradoxically, we postmodern, very individuated and very self-aware, or really working at self-awareness people, that we are longing for the kind of connection and often participating in indigenous rights and really, really listening to, and reasonably so, importantly so, to the voices of the indigenous elders who have kept practices of connection alive. And yet we're terrified of losing our individuality. And what we're talking about actually resolves this paradox in a slightly different way than one would imagine. Because as you said, we need greater individuation to choose to drop into, pay attention to this subtle trans dimension that lives between us, which we call interbeing.
I mean, what you're pushing here really is that we take this trans individuation really serious.
Mm.
Because you could say, yes, we need to come together in our individual way, but basically we have to stay in our individuated way at the same time. And the way you're expressing yourself, and I very much share the same perspective. No, it's more than that. We have to go to a point where we really transfer our identity from our individual identity to something beyond that, which I would call, like you, a shared presence. We talk about an interbeing field. And this is more than coming together in a we space, and in the sense that we call it sometimes interpersonal space, where you and you and you meet and come together and stay individuals. Yes, we stay individuals, but at the same time, we become aware of something that's not separated at all. And in the depth of it, and this is the claim and the beauty of it, we can meet in and from this place of non-separation.
Mm.
And yeah.
Which is a different place within the self, and is a different place between us. It's different than the place that where I locate me, my me-ness. And yet it contains that, which is part of what is so remarkable about it. Is that there is a different positioning, as you just said. There is a putting some space around what we usually identify with: my mind, my feelings, my presence, my person, and in putting space around, getting a little space there, so that I'm not just totally identified with it. There's some other beingness, some other presence that we share that begins to come into my awareness. And that is the space of transindividuation.
Which
and
is
my ability to choose to align there, rather than just being in my identity as a white woman growing up at a certain time, and with all the relationships I have and what I've learned and blah, 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 just not that only, but something deeper and more primordial. That's what, that has a different potentiality to it.
It speaks to a real paradox, because completely needs me in my individuation to be there with this. And it needs completely me to let go of me in my identification of my separate self sense. So it needs me, But at the same time, I have to let go. And that's a subtle, or maybe not so subtle, but a very easy to miss distinction where I see something, where I am aware, yes, I am Thomas, and I have this background, I have this individuality, and that's part of, and I'm needed in my self-responsibility to take care of the presence, situation like a dialogue like this one. But there's something that I can connect with, which is beyond me, which is an open presence where you and I share something that we also sometimes call a co-consciousness, which in itself is an expression to really speak to this contradiction. Consciousness and is something I have. Co-consciousness, something that you have at the same time. Yes, exactly. That's what we are talking to, and that what makes trans individuation really trans.
Yeah, it is what makes trans individuation something that is not just an individual experience of some kind of deeper openness or a deeper presence, but it becomes a new cultural ground. And by cultural, I mean the what happens when humans come together. It makes a different possibility possible, a different intelligence, a different capacity for thinking together at the level of creative thought, and therefore doing together in ways that are in a different flow than what happens usually between us.
Because it's, it's not easy, but in comparison, it's easy to come together in a togetherness and let go of my selfness, my selfhood in the same way. There's something, and I appreciate that, where we just open up to a stream of being connected, but I'm following the stream. But what we are talking about is something that has attention of really opening oneself to this sharedness, this interbeing field, but at the same time stay completely responsible as an individual to hold this. And it's easy to not really let go of oneself and stay something in an interpersonal relationship. It's relatively easy, or at least easier, to really open up to this V field, but losing one's individuality in that. There is the danger of regression, of some kind of pre-individuated, even groupthink that you can fall into. But exactly to ride the tiger where you hold both at the same time, you are a mature, individuated person that really lives one's own responsibility to respond, but you're completely aware of there is a wholeness that we are engulfed in and that we are not separate from, that we together can express as we come together. And this is an interbeing we space that is profoundly transforming.
Yeah, because it there's something that happens in the vortex in between. It's in the recognition that we share this field. Not that I'm having an experience of something or of it, that it's not actually an object, and it's not an object that we play with together or explore together. It is a presence, a being, an aliveness, a livingness that we share, and like all living things, has an intelligence and has a direction. It is pro-life, it is pro It wants to combine and to synergize what we each have and bring into the mix as our authentic selves. And that's a different degree of togetherness and working together than we see most of the time.
To bring some, let's say, philosophical context to this, because part of how we understand what this is about can be understood easier when we see it in the context of the development of our human consciousness as cultures. And when we appreciate what you already touched on, that at least in the last couple of at least 4,000 years, our human development of our human consciousness is very much influenced developed around our individuation process, where we are not just embedded by nature, where we're not just embedded by tribal identity, where we're not just embedded by traditions, but become our ownness in our individual self-sense. In the end, this is what modernity and our modern self-identity is about. But it started already some more than 2,000 years ago in what people call the Axial Age, where was a whole transformation from more indigenous-oriented classical culture to the high religions of Christianity and Buddhism and Taoism, where we started to do two things at the same time. We were aware of something absolute, becoming something aware of absolutes, not just the gods, but something absolute, if you call it Tao or God or Brahman, that's different cultures forms of it, but we became something aware of this absolute, and we became aware of our individuality, and particularly our Western culture really developed this in a way that reformed our whole modern consciousness. Right now in our modern postmodern culture, and this is our claim, maybe we become more and more aware of the shadow sides of this separation in hyper-individuation and narcissism, and what our development of consciousness is looking for is a new realization of our embeddedness as human beings, that we are not just separate, we are wholeness at the same time, that you can call this maybe something like a second Axial Age, where we really change our identity and the development of our identity to a new recognition of wholeness between us and more than just between us.
Yeah, kind of through us and within us and between us. It's that it's all encompassing, that we are these collection points or focus points of matter, that living matter that focuses our attention, intention, knowledge, and that we are in a knowing field together.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can together work that field and work that realization that we're not, that at a deeper level than this the cellular one, we are not separate. That this presence is real and has a reality that wants to be developed, and that's part of what is our potentially, this is the second Axial Age. Our next step is reincorporating, re-synergizing, reintegrating the wholeness that you see in the transcendent book religions that you that existed in the kind of unity with nature, that these are that there is now a, needs to be a move of reintegration. And what is so exciting is that this is starting to stir between humans now. I think all of the we space relationship work and these different processes that people are working with, including the one that we're working with interbeing, are all movements in that direction, co-living, co-creation, all this, all of these collective processes. It's like we're pushing against the barrier that has been created through our belief in our separate self sense. And this is a very a very exciting time and shift. And I find it really exciting as a developmental psychologist, because this shift towards an opening that connects us, that allows us to work, and I keep using the word work, but meaning think, engage, explore, develop, create out of this unity and not out of separation, that is a new direction for us as certainly in Western culture.
What I also find very exciting and would like to point out, that there's also a very direct experience of this. One way in our work, and I'm sure in other works it must be similar, is that the point of creativity in a dialogue very obviously changes. And I guess that people can relate to that, that you experience, usually when you talk with someone, that you have your creative center and the other has her or his creative center, and we're sharing, and this comes together. But there's a point where this flips and you experience that the creative center is not myself and yourself. It's something, a co-creative center between us in the in-between space. And you even can put it in language in a way that it seems like, although it needs completely me in this, I am thought by this space. So it is this emergent interbeing feel is the creative agent that is out of us and us itself, but it is also beyond us, and it is a wholeness. And it's a very direct experience how creativity jumps to a different level, because all of a sudden it feels we are really thinking and are creative together in a way that we cannot be as a separate human being.
And I'm sure many people have had that experience at one time or another, and said, "Wow, that was amazing. That was great. We really were." Thinking together, we were really co-creating. That was special. And part of what we're pointing to is, this isn't a special example of something that happens between individuals, but this is opening an opportunity to develop trans-individuation and to experience and work from interbeing, rather than this separate source of creativity that I am and you are. Mm-hmm. It is another level of creative synergy that comes into play.
I mean, to use a big image for that, I really sometimes feel it's a little bit like the evolution of our of life forms, when we left the water, the sea, and started to live in a different environment, meaning the air and outside the sea, that all of a sudden there's a different world opening up. When we started to individuate, I mean, I only can imagine, I haven't been there, It must have been an amazing experience that all of a sudden there is a sense of my I sense. I'm not just my tribe. I'm not just my tradition, but I myself in my ownness can hold me. And there must be a flash that comes and then you lose it again. And I think in a similar way, this trans-individuated awareness, this emergent in the being field, we know it as something that comes semi-spontaneously. But the point is, and the point of our work is, it does not have to be just semi-spontaneously. It can be stabilized as a new form of identity, who we are as human beings.
Yeah.
And you really enter into a new continent in that, when it's not just something that's one, it pops up and then you lose it, but we together can live there and can form a culture from this different form of identity that is beyond our separation.
Absolutely. And that is tremendously exciting. And it is what the trans individuation focuses again on the individual, but the real exciting potential is that the world opens up from our creative togetherness and from our deeper recognition that there is a that we share life, that what we're doing right here is sharing life, that it's not there's not my life and your life simply, but there is a field of potential, of awareness, and of intelligence that lives between us that we're learning how to consistently tap into. And that is, and it seems to want to develop. I find it exciting that this is not on any map of human development. As a developmental psychologist, looking people, the kind of higher stages often are about individuals experiencing oneness, which you referred to before,
mm-hmm.
being in this sense of unity and flow. But it's like if we drop the or consciously, and this is again why the individual is so important. If an individual consciously drops the I'm the center of this flow, and realizes that the flow is not something that is yours or mine, but is between us, that it lives between us, that making that shift is what we mean by trans-individuation rather than the whole experience that an individual has. You know, this is a very powerful experience.
And again, we have the same paradox that we talked before, because it needs our full individuation in order to hold this, because otherwise we fall mm-hmm. into some group identity or something. So to hold this, I have to also stay in my individuality. But at the same time, I, as an individual, I would go so far, cannot even experience this. Because what we are talking about can be only be experienced in between us. That means we are completely dependent on each other, so that this can wake up between us as something that we are together in. I on my own cannot do that. I can maybe wake up to the possibility of that and inspire that and do this as an individual, but it only becomes alive with each other. So it is something that we only can live in communion and not in my separation.
Right, right. And making the choice for that communion, for that space between, that is also within and through us and beyond us, making the choice to align with that, to let go of, again, of our fixed identity for one that is more open, that is a transindividuated choice. That is a choice that is made at a very profound level of and choice, or awareness, to be able to subtly distinguish between, well, this is the me, and this is an opening to a interbeing that I, as a trans-individuated human, can make by my choice and awareness. And that is a subtle movement.
And to realize, and that's quite something to say, in a deeper way, that is the communion that makes us. Because that's part of the realization, that it's not the individual who creates the communion, but it's the communion that even creates the individual. And transindividuation is needed to consciously realize that, because it's true anyway, even if you're not aware of that. But to awaken that we as separate individuals always have been a part of a communion, and to be aware of this in a conscious part, is awakening to transindividuation.
Yeah, that's really important. From the transindividuated perspective, one looks back at the whole thousands of years of culture and human development, and you see the whole changing, and the whole that our culture is Western culture is mostly like embedded in right now, is one that produces the belief that we are autonomous and separate individuals. And so we're using that belief to undermine that stance. But it's true all the way back that wholes create individuals, and individuals come together and create wholes. And we're at a new phase and new potentiality of that happening.
In that irony, what we are pointing to also becomes quite visible, and maybe that's good to lay that out, because what you were describing is this irony that even in our most hyper-individuated state of our culture that we reached with postmodernity, we did this together. So we created a culture where we completely identified with our uniqueness. And of course, there is also a truth to that, but it's only half true. But part of the irony is that a whole culture went this way, and our expression of our superhuman uniqueness and only me is something that we all the time did together. And to realize it's a movement that is not a movement of the individual, it's the movement of a culture. And if you reflect that, it also becomes more easy to see that the only being aware of our individuality is an illusion, always has been an illusion. And waking up to our embeddedness and our co-conscious embeddedness is something that makes us more aware of who we are as human beings.
Individually and collectively.
Yeah. It's, by the way, also a place, I think, where the sacred shows up in a new way.
I think that's true.
And in that sense, I see emergent into being, what we're doing also as a kind of a collective spiritual practice, to be aware that in this coexistence that we are, in this co-consciousness, something deeply meaningful, sacred shows up between us. And I experience it as quite powerful when sometimes in these processes in groups, all of a sudden everything stops and there's just a deep awareness of a field between us. It's not just a field, but it's a very meaningful, if not sacred field, and everyone is aware of it as being bigger than us, but completely not separate from us.
Yeah, I think this tangible, subtle recognition of the connection is what we perceive and perceive as most meaningful, as sacred. And it's also what we experience as love. And it's a new kind of love, because it's not a personal love, even though one may deeply treasure the other individuals involved. But it's a recognition that somehow love and life are two sides of one coin, that we emerge out of love, and this field also does.
As we also come to the end of our time here, I'm really looking forward to investigate these many aspects of our emergent interbeing work that we worked on for many years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, of course, I'm biased, but I just really deeply appreciate this possibility of coming together and the meaning that it has for our personal development, but even more so for our cultural development that is needed, particularly in a crisis of fragmentation.
Yeah, I agree, Thomas. As you know, and I find part of what's so powerful about this work is that it works at the individual and collective, or the personal and cultural, at the same time. They're not separate, and they never have been.
Thank you very much. Let's continue.
Thank you, Thomas.